Welcome. Thanks for joining us on our new podcast, Highlight Life. Highlight Life is a podcast exploring the intersection of cannabis and wellness. We're two best friends from Brooklyn on a quest for a better, less stressed life, taking an honest, sometimes irreverent look at weed, CBD, and wellness. I'm Kirsten. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be three things when I grew up: an astronaut, an actor, and a marine biologist, which got canned as soon as I realized that didn't equal swimming with dolphins. So obviously, I ended up working in fashion. But the point is, I wanted to explore as far in and out as humanly possible.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a music-obsessed vegan who loves to work hard, play hard. I was an overweight teen in Virginia listening to metal and hardcore all day and just feeling shitty. Wanting to feel better led me to becoming vegetarian. I first tried cannabis with a Rasta roommate I lived with in the East Village. And that was the beginning of my quest to learn more about and use natural plants and healing practices.
Today, Simrita Chobi, creator of Veda Warrior, talks about going from being a stressed-out New Yorker with health issues to getting back to her Ayurvedic roots and exploring the vast history of cannabis used in ancient Indian healing and how it can help us all in our modern-day lives.
So today we have Simrita Chobi from Veda Warrior in the studio with us. Hi.
Hi. How are you,
welcome,
ladies?
Welcome. I'm excited because we have some product from her. It's Focus and Balance.
Woohoo!
Her daily, it's a daily supplement, right?
It's a daily supplement for enhanced focus, memory, stress relief, to get us New Yorkers through our day, but enhancing our brain power as well.
We like that. That's good.
Okay.
So we're going to try it right now.
It's a very pretty color. What's the color from?
Cool.
Yeah, so there's a story behind this color. So typically, a lot of supplements, you'll notice that they're totally uniform. And the reason that they're so uniform is because they're putting a lot of silica in these products.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
And silica isn't bad for you. It's just sand, but it also has no medicinal qualities.
Sand?
Yeah, it's essentially sand.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Right.
So, because I did notice your product looked different. I was like, something is different with hers from what I normally see.
It's like
with capsules.
It's a really pretty, like, ochre color.
Yeah.
Right. And marbled. So they're all different. And the reason is we decided, hey, we don't want any fillers in here. Why would we put sand instead of CBD and turmeric and ashwagandha and saffron? So that is a decision we made. Leave the fillers. It doesn't need to look pretty.
Ew.
But, you know, I think they still look pretty the way they are.
I think they're really pretty.
I think they're pretty too.
That's right.
Okay, so we took them. That was easy. No chewing this time.
Yeah, that was good. We're always chewing on every episode.
We're always chewing.
Right.
Like camels.
On the go, Focus and Balance.
Nice.
Okay, so we were just discussing that you used to work in the medical industry. What was it that inspired you to kind of go back to your roots, to Ayurveda?
Sure. So within the medical industry, I was actually focused on healthcare investment banking here in New York City. So I moved to the city about 10 years ago, along with most of my other classmates, to start a career in Wall Street. So I was specifically focused on the hospitals and health systems sector. So I was basically helping hospitals raise debt to do whatever they needed to do. So as an example, Memorial Sloan Kettering here in New York City helped them raise almost $1 billion of debt to fund their new cancer research center at the time. So what I noticed after, you know, working 100 hours a week for 3 years, the biggest takeaway I really walked away with is, look, this industry is structured to create recurring revenues from recurring symptoms. Their goal is not to create a healthy population.
Right.
And so because, you know, healthy people aren't spending money on healthcare products or services.
So it's a business. It's for money.
It's a business.
They're bad customers.
Right. So that was my biggest takeaway. And so as an Indian American, I was raised with Eastern medicine, right? So yoga and Ayurveda is something I learned from day one, just from my mom and my grandmother, you know, no formal training, but things that have been passed traditionally down generation after generation for thousands of years. So I had the benefit of this very holistic preventative knowledge. So what does holistic health really mean? It just means that you're looking at all aspects of your being, meaning your thoughts, your diet, your exercise routine, your lifestyle, and of course, any health products that we're adding to our bodies to supplement what we're doing. So the biggest takeaway I had is, look, guys, there's another way to do this. What about preventative health, where we just don't get sick at all?
I mean, I like that.
Were you guys using herbs like in your family when you were young? Was it like an herbal, like you're sick, take this? Or
absolutely. Yeah, okay. So grew up with my mom having a small kitchen garden. She wasn't a farmer by any means, but took a lot of took a lot of pride in what she was growing to feed her family. And my grandmother was the same thing. In fact, both sides of my family were historically farmers back in the day. You know, we've had farmland in the family.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I didn't get their green thumb.
Right.
I like failed. But that's cool.
That's awesome.
So it's generational knowledge, really. Mm-hmm. And to this day, we have that farmland in the family. It's been around since, they've had it since the 1800s. And they grow medicinal herbs there. So there's, you know, in other parts of the world, there is this very cultural heritage we have around, like, how do we use natural things to heal ourselves proactively. So it's not about waiting till you get diabetes to figure something out. It's about doing little, tiny, simple things
on
a daily basis.
So you don't get diabetes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So when I left that job, I think I left with a deep passion for saying, like, hey, like, this is great for investors in the healthcare industry. This is not built for the people. So what do the people do? So we've got to take things into our own hands. So Veda Warrior is all about how do we really simplify and democratize this holistic knowledge that's already been around for thousands of years, right? It's already been working for billions of people over thousands of years. But how do we make that accessible to the everyday person? So when we look at Ayurveda, so world's oldest medical science, right? Couple of interesting stats. It talks about 11,000 different diseases, 2,000 different unique plant-based medicines, over 700 plants. But then think about us, right? That is so overwhelming.
That's so overwhelming.
Yeah. A bit.
I actually looked overwhelmed. No one could see me, but I was overwhelmed for a second.
Right. I saw you. You looked stunned a little.
Yeah. Even saying that, I was like, oh, boy. Like,
that's a big number.
And how can even like a trained professional, how could they have 2,000 remedies in 11,000 diseases at their fingertips? It's not going to happen.
Not possible, yeah.
So my dream was, how do we bring Ayurveda to the modern times? How do we leverage technology and things like very simple things, even on social media, to educate people about what is this and how can you make it work for you?
Yeah.
And this is really inspired by the fact that I went through a personal journey. It all started with my skin. So, you know, New York City girl, like, you know, working really, really long hours, partying, all of the above, didn't always have a healthy lifestyle. For me, that showed up in my skin. I had ridiculously bad skin for many years.
Your skin is gorgeous.
Yeah, your skin
looks
great.
I'm looking at you going, it's very glowing. So I'll do whatever you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But you know, for me, it was a very long journey. There was parts of my life where I would look in the mirror and I would just burst into tears.
Aww.
Yeah. I mean, and as it relates to dating and things like that, it was a heavy, you know, impact on my self-confidence.
Self-esteem, yeah.
Exactly. So for years and years, I struggled. I was paying thousands of dollars at the fanciest dermatologist New York City had to offer. And I just went into that mode. Nope. I'm like, if you didn't see a celebrity, I don't even want to see you. So I just became obsessed with finding the fanciest doctors there were. And, you know,
you're like, actually, I just need grandma's herbs.
I know.
Going straight back to, your home, like, upbringing.
That's exactly right. Wow. So I've taken every prescription drug there is for skin. I've taken every prescription topical medicine there is for skin. I've tried them all. And after about 7-8 years of trying this, I realized nothing was working. So I reached a place of complete desperation and hopelessness.
And this is using product from like well-known people who are, like you said, treating like celebrities.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh,
so this is the best that modern day medicine has to offer. I tried all of it. And, you know, I reached a place of desperation where I was like, you know what? I can't believe that in this day and age, nobody's figured out acne.
We're on the moon, people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is insane. So then at that point, I was like, you know what? My mom and my grandma have been talking about this Ayurveda thing for a very long time. Let me get educated. So once I started reading about, okay, what actually causes acne, I started realizing it's all linked to your liver. So when your liver health is not good, then that shows up as excess toxins coming out through your skin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then once I started actually seeing Ayurvedic practitioners, I was like, oh my God, like, how
what was I doing? Yeah.
Right. And what she was able to do for me is come up with some very simple guidelines. She was not saying you need to drastically change your life in all these ways. Simple guidelines to think like, hey, because of your body type, which is pitta, which is fire and water. So I'm naturally a very like lively, vivacious, and sometimes intense person. What that means is everyone from my body type often suffers from skin problems because we're naturally intense. So little rules to follow, right? Like, so if I'm feeling very stressed out for my fire sign, if I then go eat spicy food, then I'm really stressing out my mind and my body. So I can really not, I can help myself by drinking a green juice instead. Or I can avoid fermented food. Doesn't mean I'm allergic to fermented food. Doesn't mean I have to stop eating spicy food forever. But it's just the knowledge of knowing, like,
to balance.
Yeah, exactly.
You're finding balance,
we're
right?
Finding
so you're
balance.
Actually putting in and treating your off balance.
Right.
By like counterbalance.
That's exactly what it is. And that's what I just fell in love with about Ayurveda. Because at the end of the day, it's very simple. It's about creating balance in your body. It's not saying you need to give up this, give up that. Like, don't worry about it. Just figure out, who am I today? Okay, I'm a little bit imbalanced.
That's that's a lot more approachable than 2,000 plant medicines.
I know.
Right? Well, you can actually use that.
What is a way, how does someone find out their type? Me and Kirsten actually took the quiz on your...
We did.
And we got the same as you. We're Pitta.
We're Pitta.
Okay.
Yeah. I did it a long time ago. A friend of mine was studying Ayurveda, which she was getting her yoga certification. And I was like on the line between Vata and Pitta.
Me too.
And
I've gotten that too.
That you can go in between them? Like, is that a common thing? Like, sometimes I'm more Vata and sometimes I'm more Pitta? Or are you like usually one thing?
No. So that's the other thing that Ayurveda talks about. We are not constant. Like, imagine, like, today we're very healthy. Tonight I might go out and have 5 drinks, and tomorrow I'm not healthy anymore. I'm feeling hungover. Yeah. I don't feel good. So it really gives us this framework to think about, who am I in the moment?
Okay.
So as it relates to your body type, which are called doshas in Ayurveda, and there's 3 of them, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, they correspond to the 5 elements. So Ayurveda says that everything we see around us is created from 5 main energies or elements, which are fire, water, air, space, earth. In the human body, these 5 elements really show up as 3 major energies. And those energies are related to everything your tissues are doing. So tissue building, tissue maintenance, tissue breakdown. So this is happening on a cellular level in our bodies at all times. So those 3 main energies are called Vata, which is related to air and space, Pitta, which is what we came out as fire and water, and Kapha, earth and water. So your dosha or your type really relates to the health issue at hand. So at Veda Warrior, currently we're only focused on stress and focus and balance. So that is what. So if you go to VedaWarrior.com, you can take our stress consultation, and it's really helping you understand for this particular use case, which is stress, what category do you fall into?
Right.
Which was interesting going through that, right?
Yeah.
When we took it together.
We were keeping each other honest, too. Like, do I get really aggressive when I'm stressed out? And we were like,
right.
We're like, do I stop eating or am I eating the same when I'm stressed out?
I'm kind of eating the
same. Eating a lot.
Yeah. Which is super interesting to think about.
Yeah. You got to keep yourself honest while you're answering it. You don't want to be like calm about everything.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
I find peace in every intense situation.
Right.
Lies.
Very tough in New York City.
It's true. Right. The subway will do that to you.
Yeah. So ultimately, our goal is to really become a full-service plant medicine company. So in the long run, we want you to be able to come to our website and you can take a quiz for any different use case. And it's really about encouraging our users to come back often, right? Because many of us can switch body types over time. Typically, there is one that you are generally. There is one dominant one that you most of the time fall under.
Okay.
That is probably typical to you. But for example, you know, starting this company over the last year, I've experienced all the types of stress.
You're swinging on the scale.
You're like, right? I'm hugging a pillow. I did all 3 in a minute.
I think Kirsten and I can...
You can relate.
You relate, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really about the knowledge of just empowering yourself with like, hey, okay, I know what I'm doing. And I know that if I'm experiencing this type of thing, then the following 3 tools will be able to help me out in this moment.
Oh, that's really cool.
Right. And it's really about saying, like, look, we're a lot more complex than just putting you into one of 3 body types. This is a whole mechanism for us to empower you with the knowledge on what all those 3 are so that we can start, you know, really taking that control back into our own hands of saying, nobody's not going to know better than me what's up with my health.
Exactly.
Right. So Veda really means knowledge, correct?
Correct, yep.
So looking at knowledge, and in our first conversation with you, you kind of
brought a lot of attention to us, like as far as cannabis and how far it goes back in history. So will you go into that a little bit? Because it's really interesting. Yeah. And I had no idea.
I didn't either. You, like, when we first met you, I was just like, whoa, like, I really didn't have an understanding about that at all, that it was so involved in that way, like, for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So cannabis is such a rich history across the globe. So what we know now from archaeological records is that basically every civilization across the history of humanity has used cannabis to some extent. So we have actual historical records of course, the Indians, the Chinese, but also the Egyptians, the Mayans, the Druids. All over the world, we find archaeological evidence of cannabis being used in a variety of different ways. Mostly what we see is medicine and ritual use. So, for example, spiritual uses. So one of my greatest passions was about learning the Ayurvedic perspective on cannabis. So I just mentioned 2,000 plant medicines, 700 medicinal plants. So I wanted to know, where does cannabis fall into all this, right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, growing up as an Indian American, I knew that the Indians had plenty of knowledge on it. I'd been seeing it every time I went back as a little girl through adulthood. And I also know that many archaeologists think that perhaps cannabis even originated in the Himalayas in northern India.
Really? Oh, really?
Absolutely. In fact, recently I showed...
Fun fact.
Right, yeah. Fun fact. In fact, recently I showed my mom like a big stock of a hemp stock to show it to her. And I kind of wanted to do like the shock factor to see what she would say.
Nice.
And she looks at it and she smells and she's like, this grew everywhere in my village. It grows in the wild. Like nobody planted it. So I think it's really interesting to look at Indian culture because here's a society where cannabis just grows in the wild like a weed.
Yeah.
So nobody's necessarily cultivating it, but it's just there because that's where it comes from.
Interesting.
So I really dove into actual historical records. So I have an interesting family background. I come from an ancient lineage of people known as the Brahmins, who from ancient times have been tasked with studying and educating about our ancient texts, the Vedas.
Wow.
So there's four main books called the Vedas, as you mentioned, that means knowledge. My last name, Chaube, literally translates to the four Vedas. So,
crazy.
And we know that the fourth Veda, it's called the Atharva Veda, mentions that cannabis is one of the five most important plants on the entire planet.
Wow.
Yes.
Whoa.
So I was like, you can't make a statement like that and have no follow-up. What else did they say? So I just wanted to know, you know, what else did they know? And then so I started really digging into the mythology. So there's so much mythology around cannabis, like creation myths. So what we know from the mythology is that they speak of cannabis as a galactic plant that was essentially brought by the gods from outer space to heal both people and planet.
This is maybe my favorite story I've ever heard from ancient texts.
Yeah,
right.
Intergalactic plant medicine that's cannabis. I love this.
Cosmic cannabis.
To heal cannabis. Earth and people.
That's right. That's right.
So cosmic cannabis. Yeah.
Yeah. So I read that and I was like, look, these guys were onto something. I really need to know more.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. So then at that point, you know, once I'd found that much knowledge on my own, I met my director of Ayurveda, who really took this to the next level. So he had an Ayurvedic practitioner trained in India. And specifically, he had been trained reading these documents in their original language in Sanskrit, which is not all of them are translated to English, and especially not the smaller texts, and which is where we're going to find most of this information. So over the course of our research, we found seven different texts, and this is only what we've found so far, that talk about over 210 unique plant medicines using cannabis as an ingredient. So let's put this in context. Ayurveda, this very encyclopedic body of knowledge, has 2,000 total medicines, and 200 of them include cannabis. So 10% of an ancient system of medicine that continues to work to this day included cannabis. So this was like a mind-blowing fact to me. I was like, 210? Are you kidding me? Like,
that's a lot.
That says something.
Yeah. Do they talk about, and I don't know how they would actually talk about it because for us it's new too as far as like the CBD or the cannabinoids. Like, is there a way that they talk about that specific part of it?
So this is an interesting conversation because as we think about cannabinoids, so this is a very modern concept of like, let's process the plant down into its individual components, break it up, and then take things out piecemeal. So the art of plant medicine doesn't believe in that.
It's holistic.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So the art of plant medicine believes that nature designed this plant with this particular blend of cannabinoids for a reason.
For a reason.
Yes, we're nodding heads in agreement on this.
Yeah.
It just feels intuitive.
right?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
It grew this way.
It's supposed to be all together. Right. It interacts with each other.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. It was designed that way for a reason. Yeah. And so, you know, in Western medicine and science, we don't really want to believe in things like intelligent design and all that stuff. But unfortunately, it's just the truth. And we see this with cannabis very strongly. I mean, the whole entourage effect. I mean, this is known in modern science, too. So an orphan cannabinoid is never as strong as it's when you live it alone and give it, you know, serve it with its whole family.
Gotta have friends.
I really feel like there's plants that are a gift to us, and they are here to heal us and to heal the earth. But I think going back to what you said, once people realize that they can make money from something, then they start exploiting it and taking it away from the people, because then they can sell it back to us.
Absolutely.
And it takes away its true power. That's what I believe. Don't you know what I mean?
I'll totally agree.
What you're saying,
with that.
Distilling it down into these other things and separating us from it. Because then we can heal ourselves with it. We don't need to pay other people to do it.
100%. Yeah. And that's really the insight that I gleaned from my healthcare days as well, which is that the reason there's this huge focus right now on like studying the individual cannabinoids is because these companies are trying to create patents around them. And so I don't believe that plant medicine should or can't be patented. Like, it grows in the wild. You can't patent, like, should I patent air? Like, okay, now everyone owes me money for breathing.
Don't give anybody that
idea. Pretty much. Yeah.
They already did it to water.
My mom said that. My mom back in the day was always like, they're going to do it to water. And they have now, right?
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. And we've really seen this whole thing happen in the agricultural industry where they're patenting seeds, which I really fundamentally
I can't. That, don't get me started on that one.
Right. So there's a lot of risk of this happening in the cannabis space as well. So what I believe that my role is to do is really talk about this ancient way of doing things where it's like, no. Leave the plant alone. We cannot be genetically modifying these seeds. I totally believe in plant breeding. That's natural and it's been done for a long time. And I don't think that that's fundamentally ruining the natural structure of the plant. But GMOs, I mean, they're splicing in animal DNA to DNA. It doesn't work like that.
Gross.
No. So terrible. Yeah.
So is it through the studying of the Ayurvedic texts that led you to decide to work with CBD yourself?
That's exactly right. So I would say that my first ambition was just to democratize Ayurveda because I felt like people needed access to that knowledge. And in a country where healthcare is so expensive for so many people, I really believe that we should be teaching people grow some ginger in your window and you can do a lot with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it started with this thesis around, you know, I think the world needs Ayurveda in a simple way. Like I don't think that anyone's going to go devote 2 weeks of their life to go learn about this, but how can I start like facilitating that education? And then as I learned about the cannabis wisdom, I thought, look, this is happening again where we're going into this path of just like stripping it into like these individual cannabinoids. I think that Ayurveda knows the right way to do it. And I really want to take the lead in doing that. And really cannabis is a plant medicine that people are already interested in, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we use that as a gateway to educate them about Ayurveda? To be like, okay, look, cannabis is an amazing and very, very powerful plant medicine, but it's one of 700 or more. You know, 700 is just what Ayurveda talks about in India. But if you look at globally, there's thousands of plant medicines. We should start thinking more from a plant medicine perspective than just a cannabis perspective. So
I love that you're combining the herbs with the CBD. And it's just so interesting, and I think not that many people are doing it.
Yeah, right. you have a sentence that we both really loved on your website, an ancient super blend of adaptogens and intellect herbs.
That's right.
Yeah. So what are
intellect herbs? I'm not even sure. And just talk a little bit about adaptogens for people.
Yeah. Sure. So adaptogens are really like little helpers. They find imbalance of all sorts anywhere in your body, and they're just returning it to homeostasis. So it's tough to say that there's one particular thing that they're excellent at, although they've been known to reduce things like stress, inflammation. But really at the end of the day, what's happening is it's just looking for any sort of chemical imbalance, and it's going there. And it's saying, like, how can we just get you back into balance? So that's why from an Ayurvedic perspective, Ayurveda loves adaptogens, because it's all about this balance, right? So whatever it is, how can we just restore you back to a central point?
Are they like kind of like immune strengthening? Are they known for that? Or that's
absolutely
one of the benefits,
that's
right?
One of the benefits.
That's the one I knew.
But absolutely. I think one of the things that people talk about a lot also is inflammation of any kind, which can be caused by a lot of things. And immunity is
I'm
definitely
inflamed
one of them.
Right now, actually.
Yeah. Right. And then on the intellect herb category, so there have been herbs that have been known to work for thousands of years to do things like enhance your focus, enhance your memory. And one thing that we're not putting as like an actual claim related to our product, but is definitely written in all the historical records, is that the intellect herbs enhance your mind-body intuition. So really goes into that realm of like, if I have a spiritual practice that includes meditation and yoga or whatever else, you know, everyone's practice is different. How do I enhance that using herbs? So they don't have any psychoactive effect, but the ancients would say that it enhances your mind, body, intuition. How does it do that? It's all around this concept of grounding. So think about when we ground ourselves even in meditation, right? Mm-hmm. You're usually doing some sort of visualization where you calm your body down by focusing on your breath. And the real concept of grounding and why it's even called grounding is connecting yourself to the energy of the planet.
Right, right. And rooting down.
Yeah, rooting down. Down, exactly. So how can you just root yourself into Mother Earth so that you can stop being like, getting scatterbrained about everything?
Yeah.
So when we get very grounded, the real thing that the ancient yogis would say, the real thing that's happening there is that we're disassociating ourselves from fears related to the future and the past, which are dimensions. They exist,
yeah.
But we don't currently have access to them. So when we're putting all of our power, our emotional and physical power into worrying about the past or worrying about the future, we've then scattered our power, and now you're in a position of weakness.
Yeah.
So, you know, our name is Veda Warrior. We're, you know, peaceful warriors of knowledge. But one of the things I'm very personally interested in is this whole path of the sacred warrior, right? Like, how were the samurais making sure that they were on point to go do what they needed to do every day? In part was like making sure their bodies were perfect through the use of plant medicine, making sure and exercise and all these things. And also their mind, like how are they staying extremely grounded?
Yeah.
So if you think about a warrior, they're not worried about yesterday because something's attacking
them
now. Right. They're very present.
I mean, that's... Kirsten and I talk a lot so much about that, how most people live in the past and the future, and it's so hard to be present.
And we do.
I do
it's
too.
It's easy
to
get lost in that and then trying to really pull focus, which is, I think, very cool that your product seems very specifically around that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like about presence.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
And think about problems focusing. We can't focus because we're worried about something else.
So, word.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Know that feeling.
So when it comes to focus, really the underlying root thing, root cause of how you can improve your focus is to get very grounded. And so it all comes back to some very, very basic principles that are solving the root cause of things. So it's not like directly like creating better focus, but rather helping you get so that your own body will naturally get more focused. So that's what this is all about.
Do you think combining meditation with taking these supplements is something that would be optimal? Do you recommend that to people? Do you have a practice yourself?
I do, absolutely. Yeah. So I feel that one of the most authentic ways to experience our product is in combination with meditation and mm-hmm. yoga. So we know from a lot of historical as well as oral traditions that have been passed down that the ancient yogis have been using herbal blends like this for millennia. And it was to enhance the spiritual practice. And to this day, cannabis is used as a spiritual tool. So I'll say that there is a distinction there. It's not about getting as high as humanly possible. Like, that's not your spiritual path.
No,
But it's about using it ritually to do exactly this, to get grounded so that you can get very clear on, like, who am I and what am I here to do? And what's the most efficient way to get that done? And how do I get very in tune with my feelings with the understanding that emotions are directly linked to our minds and bodies?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm repressing emotions, that's going to show up as an illness at some point somewhere for sure.
Right.
So it's about this practice of saying, like, I'm devoting this time to myself because it's important to get very clear on my entire emotional, spiritual, mental body so that I can optimize my power so I can be the warrior that I need to be.
Right. And through that, naturally, it releases stress. Right. Just like the act of grounding and being more centered has this side benefit of also reducing being really stressed out.
100%.
Which is so cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, all the adaptogens in here are really helping you deal with that inflammation that stress causes and going from there. So the biggest thing I'm excited about this product, you know, coming from my healthcare background. So two people told me that they stopped taking their Adderall prescriptions and took this.
What? Wow.
So I'll qualify. Great. I'm not suggesting that anyone stop taking prescription drugs without consulting their physician first. However, it was a very interesting feedback to get because I do really believe that in today's day and age, we were facing an epidemic of over-prescription.
Yeah. Yes. And instead of doing the work that you're saying and getting grounded, people are just like putting pills on top of that stuff.
Right.
Instead of looking at it and really getting into like, why aren't I feeling good and what's really going on with me?
Right.
I mean, it's generational too. I mean, I saw it with my parents, definitely. You know, so it's important now that we know we have the knowledge to be like, you know, we can actually work on this. We don't need a doctor to tell us. Like, we actually have an inner guide that can tell us what we need to look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what was most exciting to me was just, you know, being part of someone's journey of just reflecting yeah. and being like, do I really need this?
Exactly.
Or am I just taking it because someone told me to?
Because someone told me to.
Right.
Yeah. And getting rid of that disconnect between the two things.
100%.
Really,
and just doing that self-work to know, yep. like, let me get in touch with who I am. And maybe yep. I do need it. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily yep. bad to be taking a prescription drug, but I just feel like there's many people out there. We're doing it because we were told to, not because we need it. And then knowing what we know about the economics of the healthcare industry, it's right. just smartest to ask yourself that question and be like, "Who? Like, do I really need this?" And I'm the judge of that.
As far as taking these herbal supplements, do you feel like there's a best time of day, a best practice, yeah. or do different types take it at different times?
So for this particular one, I would recommend taking it in the morning. I okay. personally take it every morning because I find that and I usually take it after breakfast, and that's just my general practice. I know some people don't eat breakfast, but I always like to have something in my stomach. But just specifically because the intellect herbs in here are extremely powerful. So I want that intellect to be happening while I'm at work.
Yeah. Not while you're sleeping. I guess that makes total sense.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll come
tossing
later.
Tossing and turning.
Yeah. And there's nothing in here that would particularly keep you awake at night, but I just like feeling
waste
that.
Waste and benefit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's a good time.
One of the yeah. things I'll point out in here, so saffron. Saffron has both modern scientific studies as well as thousands of years of tradition to suggest that it's excellent for brain health. Why? Because it helps brain cells regenerate. And so it is interesting because saffron's very expensive. And, you know, we're a new, yeah, new company. Yes. And I was like, oh, look, we can't afford the saffron in this product. And my director of Ayurveda was like, no, this is just as important as the CBD in here. And we need to keep this authentic to what the documents say and really create the most powerful blend of herbs. So, you know, I'm glad he kept me honest there. And so that's one of the things I'll point out. Another one is Celastris, which is not even that well known in North America.
I don't know it.
That's in the one that we took now?
Yeah, it's okay. in here. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. But in India, it's known as like the mother of all intellect herbs.
Wow.
Oh. Right.
So, of course, Americans
what
don't
is it
know
again?
It.
Sorry, Celastris?
Celastris paniculatus is the whole Latin name for it. It's called Jyotishmati in Sanskrit. So it's a beautiful name. So it's really talking about like enlightenment and intellect.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's really about understanding that, you know, cannabis is super important and exciting, and a big reason that people have loved it is because of the high you get. So that's the reason that it's so famous. But there is many other plants out there that should also be famous.
Yeah. Right. You got to respect.
I agree.
Got to yeah. respect all the herbs.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
They all have things to offer.
Right. And with this particular one, I think one of the key things we wanted to showcase is based on the historical research we've done, these 210 formulas. The ancients were always putting other things with cannabis, other mm-hmm. plants, to really like hone and create this effect that was very targeted to whatever the use case was. So there are ways to enhance and direct the effects of cannabis with other herbs.
Right.
So this was the art form that was lost, right? Like that knowledge of like which other plants go well with cannabis. And the ancients had a very robust knowledge of like when they were talking about hemp versus marijuana versus the leaves versus the stalk and the flower and like the you know, the unfertilized flower, which is ganja. That's like the smokable one, where bhang is hemp, which is like more talking about the entire plant. So I think that's one of the things we really wanted to revive of like, look, this is always meant to be used with a bunch of other
it's
things.
It's a part. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In a targeted way.
Well, since we've just been talking about that, I wanted to check in with how everyone feels. How are we all feeling? I'm feeling focused.
I feel focused, too.
Yeah.
I feel good.
I feel good. It's a nice feeling.
Great. That's nice to hear.
And I had a bunch of coffee, and I was a little jittery when I got here, so I'm feeling a little less.
Yeah, and I'm battling a little bit of a head cold, and so I've been having a hard time being present, mm-hmm. as you do when you feel like your head is cloudy. And it's helped cutting
really?
Through
oh,
a
that's
bit,
good.
Which is really nice.
Cool.
Which is cool. So I'm glad about that.
Great.
And then, you know, we end every interview with our favorite questions. Okay. We talked a lot about yours, but outside mm-hmm. of your product, do you have a favorite product you like to use? In the CBD cannabis world.
Yeah. So I really love the Treaty products, actually.
I love that.
So
that's funny.
That's right. Amazing.
Yeah. So I love the Treaty products because I know the Dobsons very well. and I really believe in their farming practices. And I know they're well on their way to becoming certified biodynamic, which yep. is something I'm yep. going, a process I'm personally going through with my family land in India, because we hope to be sourcing our turmeric and our ashwagandha from my family land. And so, you know, they're already doing things in a very great Vedic way, but I wanted to introduce the biodynamic stuff to them as well. So I really love what the Dobsons are doing over at Treaty and the way they're actually growing their hemp, which is grown with a lot of love and a lot of care to keep the pesticides out of there.
We were just laughing because they're coming on the show. So
oh, great.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to be talking to them in depth about that. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
happy. So tune in.
Yeah tune in. But
and their father is actually one of my mentors. So I just had lunch with him yesterday.
What?
Up in the Berkshires.
Oh my God.
No
this
way.
Is amazing.
Yeah. And he's a remarkable man. I mean, wow. He is a pioneer, and he's been fighting for legalization for decades, since before we were even born. And the amount of work he's done is really remarkable. So he just started the first outdoor marijuana grow, perhaps on the entire Eastern Seaboard, that's legal, just last year. So, you know, it's a whole family of knowledge that they have there. And as you know, coming from my background, I really believe in the generational knowledge because I think it sinks in a lot better when you're told it when you're really little. And, you know, it just goes to show the amount of passion they have that's been running generation after generation. Wow. So I do love the Treaty products.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good. I know you haven't given it to us yet, but I did ask you for some songs that we're going to put up as a playlist with your episode. Can you talk a little bit about some songs that you might be giving to us for that? Or have you thought about it?
Yeah. So
what's the inspiration for them and why you're listening to them at the moment?
The songs I would probably talk about are more like meditative kind of mm-hmm. soundtracks.
Great.
Cool.
I love that.
Yeah. I like to start my every morning with meditation. So Ayurveda has some guidelines on like times of the day that are optimal for us all to wake up. And it doesn't make a lot of sense at first because they say you should wake up between 4 and 6 and your immediate reaction is like, oh, who's going to wake up?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like that's never going to happen. But you know, I started reading the research behind it and it's like, okay, it's because like that's in line with our circadian rhythm. And and as humans, we've forgotten the fact that we really belong to the earth. And, you know, just because we have this 9 to 5 doesn't really change our physiology because, you know, the Industrial Revolution just happened in the last like 150 years. But humanity has been evolving for like hundreds of thousands of years on Earth, being used to certain things. So aligning yourself with the times of the sun and stuff are very important. So I've been waking up extremely early. So it's the music that I care about these days are things that I would want to listen to at 5 a.m.
Nice.
What time do you get up?
I try to get up by like 4:45, 4:50.
Okay. Oh, bless.
I'm also getting to bed quite early these days.
as it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a full day.
But I find that like I've never felt sharper or more focused in my life since I've been doing that. So I do my meditation, then I have my coffee and my breakfast, then I take my Veda Warrior capsules, and I feel like I'm ready to take on anything.
I'm so excited to like do a little tidbit on your morning routine.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to try it.
And so what I learned through this process is that rituals are actually deeply stress relieving. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
Because it just creates this sense of order in a world full of chaos where you're like, okay, no matter what happens, I'm going to do my rituals.
Yeah.
So I decided to make my mornings very sacred. I was like, this is the way I'm starting my day. This is the energy that I'm putting into every interaction I have, all the work I do. And our company is so mission driven that I really feel that as the leader, I owe it to myself and my company to show up at my best every day. So my morning is full of things that only I do, that nobody's watching me, and it's not to look cool or whatever, but I do it because it gives me the structure and the framework for positivity that I want for the day.
Oh, that's so great. I definitely notice a difference if I meditate in the morning or not. Like if I miss it, you can feel it throughout the day.
Yeah, you definitely can.
Absolutely.
We'll do a little
write-down.
Can I ask
like around what time if you're getting up that early at 4 or 4:50 you said?
Yeah.
What time do you generally go to bed? Like, what's your...
So I start winding down around 8:45, 9 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, and in the startup life, you're just working all the time. So that means 8:45, 9 o'clock, all the screens go off. Mm-hmm. And then I start getting ready for bed. And then I try to fall asleep around 10:30.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah, I'm getting like 6-7 hours of sleep. So not the perfect 8, but, you know, everybody's unique. That 8 is a very
standard
thing.
I feel like it varies for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like 7 hours, I'm pretty good, so...
Awesome.
The routine's working.
I love this. Well, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
A great conversation. I learned a lot, and I'm excited to dive into your morning ritual on my own. And we'll put it up on our Instagram or on our site as well. A little takeaway some people can try, maybe.
Wonderful.
Please go and check out her product. It's VedaWarrior.com, and on Instagram, it's at VedaWarrior. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Join us on this journey. Let's explore, experiment, and learn together how cannabis with some good old self-care and mindfulness can help us feel good.
So let's highlight life in a really positive way that just makes us all better humans. Check out our website, highlightlife.com. Follow us on our Instagram at highlightlife and click subscribe on our podcast to take this wild ride with us. Big thanks to Gary's Electric Studio in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and to Raiton on Thrill Jockey Records for the music.